1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Heavenly Father, thank you even now, Lord, for the opportunity to call out to our Heavenly Father and know that you hear our prayers. Lord, we're going to spend a little time, dear God, in the message, studying this matter of prayer and thanking you for the opportunity to pray. Lord, may we never take it for granted. It was secured at a great price. Thank you for the blood of Christ that opened up, Lord, heaven and gave us access to come boldly. The veil was rent in twain. And Lord, no more do we have to go through a man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, as we study this matter of prayer, give us a thankful heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The blessing of prayer, the blessing of prayer. Maybe I'll get to the point one day where I can no longer have to say this. I hope so. But I turned 50 years of age. I was saved when I was 5, and so I've been saved for 45 years. And I've got to just tell you this, right or wrong, whether this is bad or good, I have to tell you that I've never yet reached a point in my Christian life where I am satisfied with my prayer life. I'm just not. And maybe that's a horrible thing to have to say after 45 years. Now, don't get me wrong. You've got a praying pastor. You need a praying pastor, don't you? But I just, no matter how I do it or how much I do it or what I do, I always get to the end of every year thinking, I probably should have prayed more. And I'm going to try harder next year and continue to grow in this area of prayer. I want to be a praying Christian. I want to be a praying pastor. And I want to pastor a praying people. Let's just set this as a collective goal. Let's pray more in 2012 than we did 2011. Let's grow in this area of our Christian life, no matter where you're at in your growth process. But having said that, let me say this. One of the greatest blessings of my life is prayer. It's prayer. What an opportunity we have to be able to approach the throne of grace. What an amazing thing that God would listen to Jerry Ross when I stop at any time during the day and bow my heart, bow my head, lift up my heart, lift up my voice, whether it's verbal words or whether it's just the crying out of my spirit, to think that God Almighty hears my prayers is an amazing thing. I began to jot down in my office about 2 weeks ago when I started working on this Bible study for this night, just some of the blessings about prayer. And so I jotted down 7 blessings about prayer. Don't panic. I promise you, 8 o'clock, you'll be walking out the door, okay? But I'm going to share with you 7 blessings about prayer tonight. And maybe at the end of counting these 7 blessings, we go home tonight with a thankful spirit that we have a God that genuinely cares to listen to us. Number one, here's blessing number one about prayer. You can pray. You can pray. Aren't you glad to be a born-again Christian? Aren't you glad to be a Bible believer? I feel so sorry for people that are caught up in false religions. And when they have a need come up in their life, oh my goodness sakes, I've got to get in the car and I've got to race down to the church house and I've got to go talk to the Father, not the Heavenly Father, but the guy who's stolen the title from him, and ask him to pray for me for a fee, or light a candle for a fee. No, you can pray. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we don't have to go to any other person. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm going to read a lot of the verses tonight for sake of time. In Hebrews 4, I've already referenced this portion of Scripture, but I love it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you are saved, I need to qualify that tonight. If you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. You can pray to your Heavenly Father. You don't have to come to Pastor Jerry. Now, if you want me to pray with you and you've got something pressing on your heart, call. Leave a message at the church. Call my cell phone, leave a message. If I answer it, I'll take it directly. Matter of fact, if I answer it and it's that pressing, I'll probably pray on the phone with you. But you know what? You can pray. You can pray. I couldn't get a hold of Brother so-and-so. Doesn't matter. You can get a hold of God. You can get a hold of God. And it's just a blessing that I can pray. I can go to God. I can go directly to the throne of grace. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, if you're saved, you can pray to your Heavenly Father. Let me just say this, just in case someone would be here tonight. If you're lost, say, preacher, can I pray? Yes, you can pray to be saved. That's the place you need to go. You need to go to God, but you need to go to God about this matter of being born again. And then after that, God becomes your Heavenly Father, and then you can talk to Him like a daddy. Abba, Father. You can go and call Him Abba. But number one blessing about prayer that I jotted down was this. Thank you, Lord, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. As long as I come in the name of Jesus and because of the blood of Jesus, I can go directly, myself personally, Jerry Ross, can go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. That's number one. You can pray. Number two, you can pray. Here's a blessing about prayer. You can pray at any time. At any time. Now, I researched this to make sure that this was right. David liked to pray in the morning. And so Psalm 88:13, but unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. And yes, and by the way, I recommend that. I think mornings are a great time to pray. I think you ought to start every morning with prayer. I know you can pray at other times, but it's amazing how many times in the Bible God emphasizes this idea of praying in the morning. So, well, preacher, is prayer only a morning deal? No, because Psalm 55:17 says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Have you ever gone somewhere, like for instance in this county, to the license branch? The most confusing thing they've got going now in Greene County is the license branch. They threatened to close Bloomfield, so those people rose up in indignation. And they threatened to close Linton, so those people rose up in indignation. And so they compromise. They keep them both open. And one's open on Monday, and one's open on Tuesday, and one's open on Wednesday. And I can't keep track of which is which. And then when you go on the right day, sometimes you don't make it in the right hours. And so just about time I show up, it seems like they've gone to lunch. The post office. Can I get started on the post office, Brother Bud, here a little bit? I don't know what it is, but I don't care how they set the hours. When I need to go to the post office is when y'all need to go to lunch every single time. And aren't you glad that God doesn't say, okay, here's my hours. All right, now these days, now you can reach me on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, but Tuesdays and Thursdays you can't reach me. Thank God. God doesn't have office hours, amen. You can pray anytime. How about this at nighttime? Ever needed nighttime prayer? Come on now. Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out, speaking of Jesus, into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And David talked about praying in the night watches. So you can pray in the morning, in the evening, noon. You can pray at night. And Ephesians 6:18 says praying always. So I suppose that means if we're encouraged to pray always, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. I'm assuming that means God says, hey, anytime you want to come, I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to hear you. What a blessing about prayer. You can pray at any time. Now, that's good because you know what, folks? I don't know if it's this way in your life, but emergencies aren't scheduled in the life of Jerry Ross. And they aren't scheduled in the church's life either. And we don't know when we're going to need God. In a special way, maybe in a supernatural way, in an emergency type situation. You can pray at any time, morning, evening, noon, night, always praying, always, without ceasing. Anytime you want to call out to God, you can pray, and He'll always be there. Blessing number three about prayer. Not only you can pray, and you can pray at any time, but you can pray by yourself or you can pray with others. Now, I kind of like this. There's times, honestly, I want to pray alone. And the Bible encourages me to do that. Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Not only is can we pray alone, but God commands us to pray alone. Every single person ought to have as part of your prayer life solitary prayer. And I like this. Mark 1:35, again, Jesus being the great example of all things, the Bible says, and in the morning, I like this little phrase here, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there praying. You know what that means? You think about how popular Jesus was and all of the people that were seeking him. Most of them, watch this, because of what they could get from him. And he had to, if he was going to get to a solitary place, if he was going to get to that alone place, he had to do it early in the morning. And so he set that example for us. Sometimes, folks, we need to go to that solitary place. Let me encourage you, if you do not have a private prayer life, you need a private prayer life. I'm not going to go into an in-depth study of this. I covered this somewhat when we had our theme, Year of Prayer, but I think sometimes we are a little confused in the church. I'm going to say this again. You send whatever prayer requests you want to send up to the pulpit, and I mean this, I'll honor them and pray for them always. You always can come to me and ask me to pray with you about something, and I will trust that the Lord God has led you to do that. But I do read in this portion of Scripture in Matthew 6:6 that there are some things that we should pray about very privately. Enter into thy closet. Shut the door. Pray to thy Father which is in, the word here is secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let me tell you what I believe happens in the church house. And one of the reasons that your pastor set up our prayer program the way I have is, yes, in the book of Acts, we can do a study on the importance of united prayer and the power of united prayer. And there certainly are, starting in Acts chapter 1. We see the church come together and pray. One place, one accord. Watch this. One request. They didn't gather to pray for everybody's individual closet prayer requests. They came to pray to be endued with power on high so that the church could go forward and accomplish the Great Commission. Listen to me. Look up here, church. Some of you are never going to know whether or not God answers your prayer or not, because you don't have closet prayer requests. You think every private request should become a church request. I don't agree with that. Now again, I'll pray with whatever you come to me to ask prayer for. I will honor that, and I'll be honored to pray with you. But you know what? If everything that comes up in your life, you've got to call the prayer chain about, how are you going to know if God ever answered your prayer? The Bible says, if you'll meet with God secretly, he'll reward you openly. And I do think that there's some things that we ought to pray about that are personal. Folks, can I just be very honest with you? I don't have time to pray over my private prayer requests and the private prayer requests of 150 other people. And what I'm seeing is the church coming together, and they want to use that as their private closet prayer request, and so we pray about everything except for the power of God to fall on the church and the ministries of the church and the lost souls. And so we spend so much time, I mean, we'll spend an hour praying and never pray for a soul to be saved Sunday, or the power of God to fall upon the preaching on Sunday, or the safety for the ministries and the things that are church related. And so I believe, and I've studied this, and if you disagree with me, you can bring the scriptures and we'll take a look at it. I like studying the Bible. I may have missed something, but I believe the Bible says that your personal requests should be taken care of in your closet. And when the church gathers together, it's three times. We can study it out in the book of Acts, three times. We have examples, three times, where the church came together for united prayer. Every one of them, every one of those situations involved a church-wide situation that affected local assembly. And so I'm just afraid this is what we're doing. But I'm going to tell you this. Here's the formula, closet prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Notice that thy. You go into your closet, shut your door, pray to your Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret shall reward thee, T-H-E-E, openly. And you know what? I'm telling you, folks, if you don't agree with me, what you're robbing yourself of is the assurance that God hears and answers your prayer. Hey, preacher, who does the preacher call when he needs prayer? When you have a prayer request, I don't call. I go to my closet. And by the way, there's a reason that your preacher has great confidence and strong faith in the prayer answerability of our God. You know why? Because without telling another soul, I get on my knees and I claim something for God and pray something for God within the parameters of Scripture and watch God answer it. And He does it over and over and over again. And that's why I have great confidence in God, great faith in God. I want you to have that. That's not just for a preacher. I already told you, you can have that. You can pray. And so, closet prayer requests, united prayer requests, we ought to take a look at that. But you can pray by yourself or with others. God's given us both avenues. Both of them are important. Both of them ought to be part of our prayer strategy. But we ought to have solitary places and solitary times when we pray. And then thank God, there's nothing, I think, more blessed and I think more supernatural and has the potential of opening doors. Like when the church comes together, one place, one accord, one request. And you know what? God does miraculous things. All three times in the book of Acts that the church came and followed that formula, an unusual miracle happened. The hand of God moved in a spectacular fashion. And I think God would like to see that. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I just think we're too busy praying for Aunt Hazel's gout. I like this. I like it when everybody gets a little nervous, you know. Problem is, down deep in our hearts, we're just selfish. We don't want everybody worried about all our little problems. We want them to be focused on all our little problems. We're not really burdened about whether or not this community goes to hell or not, or whether or not the church can march forward in power, or whether we're fulfilling the Great Commission. We just want everybody worried about our hangnail. Yeah, this is good stuff. I like being a Bible preacher. Yeah, very comfortable being a Bible preacher. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's a blessing. You can pray. You can pray at any time. Number three, you can pray by yourself or with others. Number four, you can pray about everything. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice what follows. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there's not a thing in the world that you can bring to God, and God's going to say, what are you doing? That's not significant enough to bother me with. God says everything. Everything. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to God. If it's a burden to you, then God wants to hear about it. Casting all your cares. Not some of them. He doesn't say cast some of your cares. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You can pray about everything. Everything. We already read in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I can pray about everything. I can pray about every need. Anytime there's a time of need, I can go to God. And He will hear me concerning that need. In every circumstance. I like this scripture, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit. You know, you say, preacher, you can pray about everything. You can pray about every need. What about the times you don't even know what to pray? Ever been there? Oh, aren't you glad God's got an answer for everything? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And I've been there. I've got on my knees to pray about a situation. I don't even know where to start. Honestly, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to ask. I don't know if they've got a problem or I've got a problem or the world's got a problem. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. And you know what happens during times like this? Watch this. But the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit of God, itself, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, that's good. Because, see, I don't always know what the will of God is. One of the things I want to do is always pray in the will of God. You know, nevertheless, not my will, but... So I want to pray in the will of God because Jesus gave us that example. But the problem is sometimes I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know. But I've got someone who lives inside of me that knows the will of God. And so sometimes I'll come before the throne of grace and I'll bring up a matter before God, and then I just got to get quiet because I don't even know what to say about it. I don't know what to ask. I don't know what the will of God is. I don't know. And isn't it great that you can just get quiet before God and let the Holy Spirit take over, and He'll go before the Father, and He will represent you in prayer, asking for the right thing so that me and you don't mess it up. Isn't that awesome? So you can pray about everything. You can pray about every need. You can pray in every circumstance, even when you don't know what to pray, you can still pray because the Holy Spirit knows what to pray. Well, that's good, isn't that? What a blessing. Number five, seven blessings about prayer. Number five, you can pray anywhere. You can pray at any time. You can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray about everything. You can pray anywhere. Now, let me prove it. I'm going to prove it with one verse. You can pray anywhere. Here it is. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. There it is. I think that settles it. If you can pray out of the belly of a fish, I guess you can pray about anywhere. Amen. Aren't you glad that God didn't say, sorry, I don't listen to people who've been swallowed by fish. You're in the one place on this planet where you cannot pray. I mean, Jonah was somewhere nobody's ever been before, and God said, I'll listen to you. I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you're at. Boy, isn't that good. I don't know where you're at. Sometimes I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where you're at. Honestly, you come in, folks, I pray for you. I try to stay as much as I can up on where you're at in your lives, but I honestly don't know where you're at, some of you. But I don't know. Listen, I don't know where you're at, but I know this. You can pray from where you're at. Oh, but preacher, I'm backslidden. You can pray there. Yeah, you can pray. But preacher, I'm cold. You can pray there. Preacher, I'm just messed up. I just got all this sin. You can pray there. Amen. Start the confession process. Let's just start cleaning things up. Say, God, before I ask you for anything else, I just need to get clean before. I just need to get clean. I mean, no matter where you're at, you can pray at church. I love Matthew 21:13. This is what Jesus said. He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Wow. That indictment could be made about many a church in this new contemporary age that's really a business, not a church. You know what Jesus said? He said this. He said, I'd like this place right here to be called a house of prayer. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, let me challenge you. You know the people, the ones, the only ones that can make that true of this church is us and this assembly that are here every week. Is this place a house of prayer? Is it a house of prayer? I met with our pastor's prayer team last Sunday night, redivided, and told the men, meet before every church service somewhere. I want it to be a normal and natural thing for people to walk in our church and look and see pairs of men in the foyer and over at the coat room or sitting here and just praying before the service. Man, that ought to be as normal and natural. I mean, if we can pray anywhere, but if there's anywhere we should pray, isn't it here? I think prayer ought to be so normal. If somebody comes up to you after church and says, I've got a heartache and I trust you to pray, would you pray about this? Hey, you know what? Don't sit there and say, yeah, I'll pray about it, and then walk away and don't pray about it. If they ask you, why don't you go ahead and pray about it? Preacher, you mean right here? There's people. Yeah, it's a church. It's okay. I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, stop that. What are you doing? Where do you think you're at? I mean, we're so weird about this stuff. We shouldn't be weird about it. One of the things that I taught when I taught about prayer and we studied the life of Jesus is what I call, because I've never heard anybody say anything about it, and I don't know what else to call it, but I call it conversational prayer. Jesus would be interacting with an individual, and he'd be talking to them, then he'd start talking to God, then he'd go back to talking to them, and it was almost like he thought God was real. Come on now. Honestly, come on now. If we really believe God's real, we really believe He's there in every situation and circumstance, then why in the world wouldn't we talk to somebody about something that's a concern and then stop and talk to God about it and keep talking about it? Why wouldn't that be normal Christianity? That's the example we see from Christ. I call it conversational prayer. I don't know what else to call it. But I know it works. I think God's happy with it. You can pray anywhere. You can pray out of the fish's belly. You can pray at church. Jesus prayed in the wilderness. You ever went out in the woods and prayed? Mark 14:35, and he went a little farther and fell on the ground. You ever been out there and just fall on the ground somewhere? My freshman year, Bible college, man alive, I didn't know what I was doing. Away from home, in the big city, and dormitory, roommates, God help me. And all of the burdens of life upon me. And I had to figure out pretty quick, called to preach, freshly called into the ministry, studying. And I had to figure out pretty quick that if I didn't find some place to get with God, this whole thing wasn't going to work. Amen. It's a good time when you get there. It's a good place to get. And so I'd get home from my job, and it'd be a little bit time before the lights out in the dorm, and I had a little time, and there was the Baptist City. There was a little pond over there and a little patch of woods, and I'd park my car instead of walking to the dorm. I'm sharing this with you folks. I walk over in that little patch of woods, and I'd get on the ground with my face. I've done it. I've done it in the rain. I've done it in the snow. I've done it in the spring and the fall and the winter. And you know what? Just like Jesus, just get on the ground. Whew. Precious times. Amen. Precious times. A little patch of sacred ground, holy ground, is some place where God said, come meet me. Cottage prayer meetings, Acts 12:12. Oh, Peter was arrested and in trouble. The church got together in Mary's house and prayed. They gathered together to pray. By the riverside, yeah, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. That's a good place. You can pray down the riverside. On the housetop, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. I think the house is a little different. I'd be careful with that nowadays. But how about this? You can pray in prison. You know, I love this. Just listen to this. And when they laid many stripes upon them, cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Whew. Amen. One of those midnight, nighttime prayer times. They were in prison. They prayed, not just prayed and sang praises unto God. Wow. I don't think they felt like singing when they got there, but you know what? Prayer changes things. It doesn't just change things, it changes you. We'll get on the phone, spend 3 hours calling everybody we know and griping and whining, and we're more depressed at the end of that than we were at the beginning. But we won't take 1 hour, get along with God, and pray until God gets us singing. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to take every text or every cell phone in here, if I could, for 1 week, and set it where you only could call one place, heaven. You only text one direction, up. Some of you go nuts. You'd have to talk to somebody that you haven't talked to in Coon's age. And what'd you do without all this great resource of human wisdom? I'm not against counsel. I'm not against talking some things out sometimes. But good night. Why do we go to men first and God last? That don't make a whole lot of sense. Well, what's the point, preacher? Well, the Bible says pray everywhere. You can pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We've had prayer meetings in the strangest places. Those of you that went on that little home missions trip to Sisterville, West Virginia 100 years ago or something like that, when we went over there to help the Bibers, new church, never had VBS, took our youth group down there. We ran VBS, helped him run VBS every morning, youth revival every night for an entire week. Our teens did such a great job. Man, I'm telling you, that week was life-changing for our youth group. But one of the first things we did, when we first got to Sisterville, Brother Pastor Biber was waiting there, and he said, follow me. And he got in his car and drove us all the way up West Virginia. You drive. And then we got to a cemetery. And cemeteries in West Virginia are not like this. They are like this. I am not kidding, am I? And they just kind of, they don't dig a hole. They just kind of dig, you know, in two and then slide you in and then put the dirt on top, you know. And once we got there to that cemetery, he said, follow us. I think, what in the world is he doing? And took the entire group to a cemetery, and we walked up the hill through the cemetery, and we got to the very far corner of the cemetery. When you reached the very top, you could turn around. He said, turn around. He said, look. And from that point, you had to get all the way to the top. You couldn't see it. From that point, you could look down and see the town of Sisterville. I looked over at Brother Biber, and tears was running down his face. He said, this is where I come to pray, and this is where I want this week to start. Boy, he taught our young people a great lesson that week. And we just made in the corner of that cemetery a little patch of holy ground. And I thought about, when I saw his tears, I thought about how Jesus stood over Jerusalem and wept. and praying. You know what? You can pray wherever. You can pray wherever. Cemetery is a good place to pray. It's all right. Amen. Number six, you can pray for anyone. Seven blessings about prayer. You can pray for anyone. In Matthew 19, we see Jesus praying for little children. In Luke chapter 6, he tells us to pray for our enemies. Now, I like the fact he didn't tell us what to pray, because that helps me. I'm not very spiritual. So, number three, I like this, pray for laborers. Harvest truly is great. He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. One of the things I pray for almost every day of my life is for laborers. And by the way, God's answering that prayer. You haven't noticed because it's subtle, but your preacher keeps going to the throne of grace because you know what? I'm not going to quit praying till every member becomes a laborer. And God continues to bring and burden people to get into the labor force of the local assembly. And if you haven't done that yet, I've got you targeted. I'm praying for you that you would be a part of that. We're to pray for laborers. We're to pray for the sick, James chapter 5. A visiting couple from Georgia and a lady that lives here locally and drove up Sunday, came to the church, saw one of our church vans and came to the church and caught me before the service that I've driven all the way from Georgia. My wife's brother's going to have open heart surgery Tuesday. And so me and Cheryl drove up to the hospital. People from out of town, they don't have a church, don't have a pastor, and prayed with that family and gave you the report tonight that his open heart surgery, second one he's had, by the way, doctors were doubtful about how it would go, but they got the message this morning from he left me a message on my cell phone and said, you know what, he's setting up, the doctors are amazed, he's already eating, they've got him on his feet. It looks good. Aren't you glad during times of sickness that we can go before God and pray? This is okay too. You can pray for yourself. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not to temptation. Well, we ought to pray that for ourselves. You can pray for all men, the Bible says. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for those in authority, for kings, And those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life for one another. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So you can pray for anyone. Pray for anyone. Preacher, I'm so mad at this person. Pray for them. Amen. Pastor, this person disappointed me. Pray for them. They despitefully used me. Pray for them. Amen. Preacher, my friend's lost. Pray for them. My wife, pray for them. But one of my children, pray for them. But preacher, I don't get to see my grant. Pray for it. You can pray for anybody. Let me give you the last blessing about prayer. Number seven, you can know that prayer works. You can know that prayer works. Psalm 6:9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. You know why David could say that with such confidence? Because he was a closet prayer. I don't know if he had a closet. He did most of it up there in the hillside somewhere. But he was a solitary place type of a guy. He prayed a lot, just him and God. And you know what? He saw God answer his prayer. Now, you can know that prayer worked. Well, it don't work for me. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor mercy from me. A lot of times what we do is we want to get mad at God when we ought to get mad at our sin. Come on, let's just let the rubber hit the road here, okay? You can bring your accusations against God, but you won't confess your pride. You want to bring accusations against God, but you won't forgive that one you've carried a knot against for 20 years. There's nothing wrong with God. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of Christians bringing accusations against God. I think one of my jobs is to stand up here and represent properly God and defend Him. There's nothing wrong with God. If there's a problem with prayer, the problem's in us. Well, I prayed about this and nothing happened. Why don't you get on your face and stop praying for that and start praying this? Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. See, we want God to be like a little bellboy. Yeah, we want to live any way we want to live, and then when we got a crisis, we want to ring the bell or pop the cork out of the bottle, and here comes the genie, and he's supposed to give us our wish. And by the way, once you give me what I want, get back in the bottle. I'm sorry, but you don't treat God like that. How dare you treat God like that? And God says, listen to me, I'm here and I am your Father, and I do want to answer your prayer and hear you. But you know what? I'm not going to play games with you. You're going to stay clean if you want my ear. You're going to stay clean if you want my power. And so there it is. How, is this supported in Scripture? Absolutely. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other, for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, Jerry Ross can't be righteous in himself, but I can be righteous through Christ. I can get on my knees and I can confess my sins. I can get clean before God. And so we know that we can know that prayer works. We got to come and we got to come clean to God. We need to come consistently to God. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. Have you ever troubled God about something? I mean, you just kept troubling God about something. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? You know what? Sometimes we don't come clean, and sometimes we don't come consistently. Well, I prayed about something, and God didn't do it. What? You had him on a stopwatch? What'd you do? Give him 2 days? He didn't work on your time. He works on his time. And sometimes, and I could have people in this church give testimony to this, sometimes God keeps you coming for years. Preacher, I want to see my brother saved. I want to see my daddy saved. And I pray, don't you quit praying. Don't you quit praying. Don't you quit praying. God likes to hear it over and over and over again. And he's not an unjust God, a judge. He's a good and gracious and fair God. But you know what? His timetable is not always ours. And he wants you to pray without ceasing. It means to ask. Ask without ceasing. Ask until you receive that. What I found is this. If I keep going to God with something consistently, he's going to do one or two things. He's going to answer my prayer, or he's going to tell me why I need to stop praying that. Because he's bound by his word to answer my prayer. So he's either going to come to me and answer my prayer, or he's going to come to me and tell me why I need to stop praying that. And sometimes I've consistently troubled the Lord about something, and to the point where finally in a pure heart before him, he said, I want you to stop that. I can't do that. I won't do that. You need to stop asking me that. Now, there's some things you can pray for, and you know that you and God's on the same page. He's not willing that any should perish, all that come to repentance. Thank God. Thank God for this blessing of prayer. Don't miss out on it. Don't miss out on it. Preacher, 2011, it just wasn't a great prayer year for me. Well, let me give you some blessings to think about. You can pray. You can pray anytime. You can pray by yourself or with others. You can pray about everything. You can pray anywhere. You can pray for anyone. And you can learn and find and know that God answers prayers. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little primer on prayer, these reminders of the blessings of prayer. And again, Jesus, thank you that you opened heaven's door. The grandest sound, perhaps, that happened on Calvary outside of the voice of Jesus Christ crying from the cross was the ripping of the veil. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk right into your presence now, Lord. How many say, preacher, our heads bowed and eyes closed. I've got a prayer request. I honestly do. Something I'm burdened about. Something I've prayed about. And I want to keep praying until God does it. Would you raise your hand? Something special in my heart, on my mind. God bless you. Heavenly Father, please see these uplifted hands. Hear our prayer. I join with these, my friends, my co-laborers. Lord, even though I may not know what all of their requests are, I join them, God. I want to pray. I want to lift these things up. May, Lord, in the months ahead, in the year, Lord, in 2012, may it be a great year for answered prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.